welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, comedy. Later on, we hear the Charlie McCarthy Show with Edgar Bergen. But right now, it's Fred Allen from October 21st, 1945 on NBC. We'll hear a trip to Allen's Alley as well as a hillbilly sketch with singer Frank Sinatra as special guest.
Hildegard, kiddies.
The makers of Tender Leaf Tea and Bluebonnet Margarine present the Fred Allen Show. With Fred's guest, Frank Sinatra. Portland Hopper, Minerva Pius, is Mrs. Nussbaum, the Tender Leaf Workshop players, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And to the lady who sent me the anonymous fan letter, my name is Kenny Delmar. This week, ladies and gentlemen, our victorious naval forces have been coming home on battleships, cruisers, and carriers. Tonight, another flat top has just arrived, and here he is, Fred Allen!
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Kenny, I hope you are celebrating the fleet's return.
Oh, yes, Fred. Well, New York has gone all out to welcome the Navy.
Oh, I know. Last night, they had 80 men rocking the Astor Hotel to make the sailors feel at home who were sleeping there. And in that picture at Music Hall, you know, weekend at the Waldorf, they took out Walter Pigeon and put in a seagull, just for the Navy. Wish some of the Navy had come in to laugh at these jokes, you know.
Well, see, wasn't Jack Benny in the Navy, Fred?
Jack Benny in the Navy? Oh, that was before water was even invented. They had the H, but they were waiting for the two O's to come out of the Ark in those days. You know that Benny is the only sailor I know who can get seasick looking at a bundle of wet wash. Benny was in the only naval engagement of the Civil War.
Oh, you mean the Monitor and the Merrimack?
Benny was on the Monitor. When the lookout yelled, "Ahoy, the Merrimack's astern," Benny said, "Have them sing something." You think it would have worked better with four chicks and a chuck? If Benny was a sailor...
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland, You're just in time, Portland. Kenny and I were discussing the arrival of the Navy.
Oh, everybody's celebrating.
Oh, I know that.
Admiral Halsey was on Bob Hope's program last week.
Yes, Admiral Halsey is braver than I thought.
Do you know why Admiral Halsey came on at the end of Bob's program?
Well, why did Admiral Halsey come on at the end of the Bob Hope program?
He's a rear admiral.
All right, it's your joke. You enjoy it. Tell me, is your mother going to participate in the Navy Day festivities?
Mama's going to be in the parade of ships.
Oh, she's going as Hesperus, the Hesperus, is she?
No. Mama's going to wear her new corset.
Her new corset, huh?
Mama's going as Old Ironside.
Oh. Say, I hope she doesn't carry the impersonation too far.
How?
Well, if your mother thinks she's Old Ironside, she may try to back into some dry dock and get scraped for barnacles. And speaking of barnacles, I wonder if everything is ship-shaped down in Allen's Alley.
Have you a question for them tonight?
Oh, you bet. You know, since gasoline rationing has ended, traffic congestion in the larger cities has become one of the nation's greatest problems. And so our question is, how is the traffic dilemma affecting you?
Shall we go?
As the two sticks said when they saw the tom-tom, let's beat it. Ah, it's so good to be back in Allen's Alley again, Portland. I wonder if the senator is in tonight. Let's see.
Somebody thumped on my door.
Yes, Senator.
I represent the Solid South.
Well, I know that.
I loaned Mason and Dixon the chalk the day they drew the line.
Well, I...
Speak up, son. Out with it. Speak up. Up, that is.
Well, look...
You'll never get anywhere staying silent.
Well, if you just...
Don't try to be another Coolidge, son.
Look, Senator, tell me, how are traffic conditions in Washington?
We're investigating. Congressman, coffee is boiling.
Well...
Well, coffee's boiling. That's a joke, son. Pay attention, son. Be on your toes.
Well, I'm doing
that. Yeah, you keep missing them, son.
Well, I... Senator, look. The streets are filled with cars. What is the solution of the nation's traffic problem?
One-way traffic.
One-way traffic,
yeah,
eh?
Mondays, all traffic moves only to the east.
Yes.
Tuesdays, all traffic moves only to the west.
Yes.
Wednesdays, east. Thursdays, west.
Now, wait a minute, Senator. What about the north and south?
Son, that was settled by the Civil War.
Oh.
Yeah, well, so long, son.
I heard you through the keyhole, Senator. The Senator dropped a picture of Jefferson Davis. Oh, well, I'll give it to him next Sunday. Now, let's see what happens here at this next door.
Howdy, Bob.
Well... Well, Mr. Moody, you look a little tired tonight.
Yeah, I've been on the go all day.
Busy, huh?
Yeah, I'm working for a tree surgeon.
Tree surgeon?
I go around leaving Kleenex under weeping willows.
Not so messy a feel that way, is it? Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, how do you account for this traffic problem? So many automobiles.
It's progress, Bub.
Progress?
Yeah. Hoover said he'd put a car in every garage.
Yes?
Truman's got two cars parked in front of every house.
What do you think is causing the parking trouble, Mr. Moody?
Oh, it's the housing shortage.
The housing shortage, huh?
Folks is living in garages and putting their cars out on the street.
Well, how are we going to cope with this traffic problem, Mr. Moody?
I'm a pedestrian.
And your solution is?
Every motorist should drop dead. So long, Bob.
Mr. Moody ought to get in touch with the mayor or Campbell's or something. Now, let's try this next door.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You are expecting maybe Commissar Mazeltoff?
Tell me, Mrs. N., are you concerned with the traffic problem?
Indubitably. If you'll pardon the expression.
Oh, naturally. Well, how are you concerned?
Well, every Friday, I'm inviting all my relatives for a big fish dinner.
I see.
I'm calling downtown the Fulton Fish Market.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Fulton is driving uptown with 20 sturgeon.
Oh, the whole dinner is nothing but sturgeon, huh?
Well, the sturgeon I'm cooking all different kinds of styles.
Oh, good, good.
Sturgeon a la King.
Yes.
Sturgeon cacciatore.
Oh, yes.
Also, Sturgeon Fuyang.
Oriental.
Sturgeon burgers.
Sturgeon burgers. Do you have, with the dinner, you have dessert?
For dessert, I'm serving sturgeon a la mode.
Sturgeon went upstream in the sentence there. Sturgeon, you're serving sturgeon a la mode?
This is a baked sturgeon. On top is a cold sturgeon.
A la mode. Well, with this traffic congestion, Mr. Fulton can't drive up to the Bronx, can he?
It is impossible.
Well, how does he get your fish uptown?
Every Friday, Mr. Fulton downtown is throwing 20 sturgeon in the Hudson River.
Well, how do the 20 sturgeon find their way up to the Bronx?
Ah, Mr. Fulton is throwing in a herring and yelling, "Boys, follow him."
Well, that brings us to the last house in the alley.
Hello, hello, we're here to say hello.
Just a minute, boys. Before you get into your theme song, tell me, have you written any new songs for us this week?
Have you heard? I put a blank check in my pajamas at night in case I have to buy that dream.
No.
Have you heard? My Irene's the village queen, but she's always taking Benzedrine.
No.
We also wrote a blues song.
Blues song? What is it called?
I got the walking up Fifth Avenue, crossing 59th Street, stepping over the gutter on my way uptown blues.
Now, look, boys, look. Look, tonight we happen to be mulling over the traffic problem.
We got just the song you want.
Traffic song? How does it go?
Hit it, Sam.
If you're a motorist in New York, you can't drive your car a block. In the traffic, you'll get jammed, and your rear end, you'll get rammed. Don't just sit there at the wheel, looking like a big schnabel. Take a tip from me, use the BMT, and sell your Oldsmobile.
Maestro Al Goodman has just played I Wish from the song I Wish I Knew. Mr. Goodman's band numbers have something in common with his horses. They never finish either. And now, say, Portland, will you put down the red herringbone carpet for our guest?
Who's coming tonight?
Well, we have a great surprise tonight, Portland. Last week, as you possibly read in the papers, a New York policeman made his first appearance as an opera star at the Civic Center. He was a great success. Now, tonight, we have another unknown singing sensation, John Charles Muckenfuss.
Does he work for the city, too?
Oh, yes, for many years. John Charles Muckenfuss is known as the singing street cleaner.
Well, where did you find him?
Well, I was going down to see that new picture, Guest Wife, at the Criterion. Claudette Colbert is in it, and Don Ameche is also in the picture, and he doesn't invent anything. And I thought it might be a novelty to go in and see the picture. And as I arrived at the front of the theater, from behind a large can, I heard a beautiful voice. It was John Charles...
Oh, this must be Mr. Muckenfuss now. Well,
get ready. You take his broom and helmet, Portland.
Okay.
Come in.
Friends, is this the Tenderleaf tea program?
Yes.
Oh, it is? Oh, that's peachy. Then you must be Fred Allen.
Yes, that's true.
Well, if you're Fred Allen, you're just the man I want to see, and, well I don't exactly want to see you either because you're not very pretty to look at.
Now, wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Wait a minute, Bud. Who are you?
Well, I am Ursula Twing. Yes, Ursula Twing. And I am a lawyer.
You're a lawyer?
Yes. Do you want to feel my briefcase?
Well, no. Take your word for it.
I am a lawyer, all right. And my last case was Delt versus the Acme Poultry Market.
The Acme,
yes,
all right.
It was, yes. And my client, Mrs. Delt, was buying a live chicken, and after the chicken had been weighed, it laid an egg.
So what?
Well, the poultry market claimed the egg, and so I sued, and the court ruled caveat emptor, and so the egg was put back in the chicken.
The egg was put back. Well, all right, so the egg is back in the chicken. What has all this got to do with me?
Well, you're in grave trouble, Mr. A. Allen. Yes, not exactly grave either, because I don't think it'll send you that far.
No.
But my client is suing.
Your client?
Yes, Charlie McCarthy. Tonight, you appeared on Edgar Bergen's program.
Under protest,
yes,
that's
and I
true.
Didn't. And you said...
This makes no sense then.
No, it said... and you said too much, and you said some very nasty things about Charlie, and you've just driven that little boy into a tizzy.
Oh, I have, huh?
Yes, and you're a very bad boy.
Now, look here, Twing. You and Charlie McCarthy don't scare me. I'll fight this thing through to the Supreme Court. And if that doesn't work, I'll go right over Frankfurter's head, straight to Mr. District Attorney.
Well, you can, as far as I'm concerned, you can go to, straight to
now,
anywhere you want. But I was here to serve you with a subpoena. And if you had better, you are ordered to appear in court next Sunday, and you had better be there too, Smarty.
If you had anything left over from the other program, put it in here, you know. We can always... We say, I'm supposed to appear in court, and what happens if I don't show up?
Well, if you don't show up, you know what happened to Pierre Laval? Boom, boom. Viva la Charlie McCarthy.
Going to sue you, Mr.
Well, look at this summons here. It says trial will be held on this program next Sunday. Why, that little wooden runt, I ought to pull his legs off and make lollipop sticks out of him. I ought to go back over there again.
This must be John Charles Muck and Fuss, the singing street cleaner.
See, it probably is. Come in. Well, who are you, son?
I'm Frank Sinatra.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I haven't time to talk now, son. I'm expecting John Charles Muckinfuss, the singing street cleaner.
Well, Mr. Muckinfuss sent me over. See, he can't make it. He got an emergency call.
A street cleaner getting an emergency call?
On 10th Avenue. It was a rush job.
Gad, here we are on the air, and our guest star is over on 10th Avenue performing a broomectomy.
Well, Mr. Allen, Mr. Muckinfuss said maybe I could take his place.
Well, I'm sorry, son. You know, this isn't one of those quiz programs where any schnook can come in off the street and take over the microphone. We only use stars.
Yes, sir.
It's nothing personal, you understand?
Oh, I understand, sir.
We can only use people with talent.
I have talent.
Really?
Yeah.
Who said so?
My mother.
Oh. Well, tell me, would you step just a little closer to the microphone, son, if you will?
I'm sorry, is this all right?
Just a little farther back, if you will, please.
See, I don't seem to get the hang of it.
No, it's a little difficult. Have you been on the radio before, son?
Well, yes, I've been on once or twice.
Oh, really? What did you say your name was again?
Sinatra.
Sinatra. Sinatra. You're not related to Sam Sinatra.
No.
I used to know a Sam Sinatra up in New Rochelle. He was a glass blower in an optician's up there. If people came in with dirty glasses and couldn't see to get out of the store, Sam would blow on the glasses.
No, I don't know Sam. No, I don't know him. I'm Frank Sinatra.
You're Frank Sinatra. And you say you're in radio?
Yes, I'm on for Old Gold Cigarettes.
Oh, are you the guy who squeezes the honey out of the apple on that cigarette?
No, you see, I do the singing.
Frank Sinatra. Say, you weren't formerly with the Yacht Club, boy. I see a little brine on your lapel there.
No, I had sour pickle for lunch.
Oh, did you? You shouldn't eat pickles with those short arms, son. The dill drips on you.
See, I have the same trouble with sodas, you know. I have a short neck and I can't reach the straws.
Oh, really? Well, how do you drink a soda?
I pour the soda out on the counter, lap it up.
Oh, good.
I lost that up.
I have short teeth. Every time I bite a hot dog, all I get is a mouthful of mustard.
You know, once I knew a guy with a... Once I knew a guy with a short nose, he couldn't smell anything unless he put his face in it.
Oh, really? Well, this is all mighty, mighty interesting, Mr.
Sinatra.
Oh, Sinatra. Gosh, it's going to disappoint millions of music lovers. John Charles Muckinfuss, the singing street cleaner, not here. I wonder how long he'll be over there on 10th Avenue.
He said it looked like a long session.
Long session, eh?
The cowboys from Rodeo are parading.
Yeah. Muckinfuss... Muck and Fuss may be tied up all night.
Uh-huh.
Gad, and right here in the program, we're supposed to have a song.
I can sing a number, Mr. Allen.
Well, all right, son, we're stuck. You've got me over a barrel. What do you want to sing?
How about it might as well be spring.
All right, but don't drag it out, son.
I'll try my best.
As a willow in a windstorm, I'm as jumpy as a puppet on a string. I'd say that I had spring fever, but I know it isn't spring. I am starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to sing. Why should I have spring fever when it isn't even spring? I keep wishing I were somewhere else, walking down a strange new street, hearing words that I have never heard from a girl I've yet to meet. I'm as busy as a spider spinning daydreams. I'm as giddy as a baby on a swing. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on the wing. But I feel so gay in a melancholy way that it might as well it might as well be spring.
What a voice, Frankie. That voice, Frankie, I didn't even recognize you before. Why didn't you tell me? Gosh, how time flies. To think that I started you on your career.
Yeah, remember when I came to you for advice?
Oh, you wanted to know whether you should take up singing or open a haberdasher store in Kansas City.
Yeah, and you told me to stick to singing.
Ah, who knows? If you had opened that haberdasher store in Kansas City, today you might be president.
Oh, I couldn't be president, Fred. No. I can't play the piano.
Oh, that's... Well, tell me, Frank. That singing you just did, is that the type of thing you're doing on the radio?
Yes. Don't you think my style is possibilities, Fred?
Yes, Frank, but you have to think of the future. You know you're not getting any younger, son.
Mm-hmm.
New boys are coming along. Perry Como, Dick Hames, Carmen Lombardo, Frank Munn, and the others.
I think I see what you mean, Fred. Where will I be 50 years from now?
That's probably what your insurance company would like to know. But if we're going to stay in radio, Frank, there's only one kind of a program we can do when we're old men.
Fred, you mean...
Hillbilly.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, hillbilly singers don't ripen until they're 80. I know I've been in warm studios with...
But, Fred... Gee whiz, Sinatra hillbilly, after all.
Ah, don't worry, Frank. I can fix everything. I know the king of the hillbillies, Zeke Manners.
Ah, Fred.
I can see it all, Frankie. 50 years from now, 1995, we're broadcasting from a little 2-watt station in Nutley, New Jersey. You and I are standing there in our bare feet, with our floppy hats. Zeke Manners steps to the microphone and says,
"Howdy, folks. Zeke Manners and his happy hillbillies are on the air. Let her rip." Howdy, howdy, friends and neighbors. This is Zeke Manners and the whole gang. The Hoosier Cold Talk, the Tory Creek Choir, Uncle Zip, Lily Bell, the Hokie Mountain Boys, and those hillbilly twins, Happy Sinatra and Uncle Hezzy Allen. First, I want you to meet Lily Bell.
Yahoo! Howdy, folks. These shoes is a killer fish.
And here's the Coon Creek Choir.
Howdy, y'all!
And here they be, them scarecrows fresh from the cornfields, Happy Sinatra and Uncle Hezzy Allen.
Howdy, Pappy.
Well, howdy, Uncle Hezzy.
Tell me, Pappy, how many hairs onto a pig's face?
Next time we shave, count them.
Yes!
Uncle, tell me, what has 4 legs and flies?
A dead whore.
No, no, our table at dinner time.
Well,
well, folks, now that we've laughed ourselves sick, Happy Sinatra and Uncle Hezzy Allen sing, "Open Up Them Pearly Gates."
Listen here, all you sinners. If you want to get to heaven, heaven, better get down on your knees and pray.
All you gambling skinners, better quit saying 7-Eleven. Get yourself prepared for Judgment Day.
Open up them pearly gates. Open up them pearly gates. Open up them pearly gates for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When you hear that trumpet sound, Open up them gates for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When you hear that trumpet blast, I'll be coming home at last. Open up them pearly gates for me.
This is Fred Allen saying goodnight, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest next week will be Edgar Bergen in the biggest court
this
trial.
This is the National Broadcasting.
Fred Allen on Tuned to Yesterday from October 21st, 1945 on NBC. And that year, guest Frank Sinatra was on the silver screen in Anchors Away, which won an Oscar for Best Score alongside Catherine Grayson and Gene Kelly. And although best known as a prolific crooner, director Frank Capra, who brought us pictures like It's a Wonderful Life, once told Sinatra that he should quit his music career and focus on acting, and if he did so, he would become one of the greatest actors of all time. In 1951, Frank Sinatra ended up going broke, and it was through movie acting that saved his career, starring in From Here to Eternity in 1953. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier, and now it's time for The Charlie McCarthy Show with special guest movie actor Ronald Colman, this NBC broadcast featuring Edgar Bergen from April 18, 1943.
Edgar Bergen, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Dale Evans, The Sportsman, our guests, Broadway's Victor Moore and Billy Gaxton, Hollywood's Ronald Colman, and Charlie McCarthy.
May I do it, Bergen?
May you do what?
Introduce Ronald Colman. You know, it should be done with dignity and savoir-faire.
So
I'll do it.
I see. All right, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, it behooves me, as I've never been behooving before.
That's not right.
No, I'll start over. Ladies and gentlemen, a feeling of pride swells up within my happy vest. Chest. That's not right either. Well, anyway, here he is, my pal, Mr. Ronald Colman.
Thank you, Charlie. Tell me, do you know the important requisites for winning a war?
Well, I heard of a general who said the idea is to get their fastest with the mostest.
Well, that's about right. But the three things needed to get us there, fastest with the mostest, are manpower, munitions, and food.
Food?
Yes, Charlie. Food for millions of men and women who are fighting and working on the battlefront and on the home front. Soon, in every community in the United States, there will be a recruiting drive for volunteers for the United States Crop Corps. When the call comes in your community, do your part.
How true, Mr. Colman, how true. In other words, folks ought to raise vegetables instead of raising objections.
That's quite right, Charlie.
Remember, this year, as you sow, so shall you eat.
Huh? That's very good, Charlie, but we need more than slogans. And while you're on the subject, I'd like to see a little more of you out on my ranch during your vacation this summer.
Yeah?
There's plenty of work there to do.
Yes. Well, I was there last weekend.
Yes. You were, but what did you do?
Have you seen your tractor?
Yeah. Well, what about it?
Well, he'll be ready next Thursday. I didn't know those darn things would climb trees. Or...
And what were you doing with the tractor, Charlie?
Well, you know that acre behind the corn crib?
Yes.
Well, I decided to cultivate it.
Oh, then you really are a farmer.
Oh, sure. That's me. I'm the man with the hole. Hi-ho, McCarthy, that's me.
Are you taking care of the whole acre yourself?
No, Mortimer's helping me.
Oh, Mortimer.
Yes. We're gentlemen farmers.
Oh, I see. Gentlemen farmers.
Yes. I'm the gentleman, Mortimer's the farmer.
That's just what I thought. Well, at least Mortimer isn't afraid of work.
Yeah. I suppose you hope some of that would splash on me.
Yes.
I hope you're not letting Mortimer do all the work.
No, I'm not. I wish you could have seen him the other day. We were plowing the field.
I see.
And Mortimer was pulling the plow.
That's fine.
Yes. And I was pushing it, though. I did my bit.
I see.
I was pushing and sweating and pushing.
Yeah. Well, did you get much work done?
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. But funniest thing happened, you know. Every time Mortimer stopped to rest,
yeah,
I plowed him under.
Oh, now.
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
Yes. Well, now, what are you growing, Charlie?
Well, right now, our principal crop is potatoes.
Oh, I see, potatoes.
Mm-hmm. We plant them now and dig them later.
How are your potatoes coming along?
Well, so far, they've been going direct to the consumer.
I see.
The bugs.
Oh, I see. So, you're troubled with bugs?
Well, not personally.
No, I don't.
But the potatoes are.
The potatoes are.
Yes. I sure wish there was a market for potato bugs.
A market for potato bugs.
Yeah, I'd make a mess of money then.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Charlie, if you're a farmer,
yeah,
I'm a monkey's uncle.
Well, I won't argue that with you.
Oh, well, Charlie.
Well, Mortimer Snurd, my old sharecropper.
Yeah. Come on in, Mortimer. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, come on in.
Oh, Mick Snurdy had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Hello, Mr. Bergen. Hello there, Mortimer. Charlie tells me that you're helping him out on the ranch. Yeah. I'm a big butter and eggplant man.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I'm showing him how to rotate his crops.
I see. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, that's right. That's fine, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what are you going...
Duh.
What are you going to plant first?
Well, there's...
I say, what are you going to plant first?
Well, I'm going to plant... seeds.
Seeds?
Yeah.
Yes, I know. But what kind? What kind?
Well, little tiny little ones, you know.
Yeah. I know, but what crops are you going to raise?
Oh, what kind of crops? Well, of course, that all depends on, you know.
Depends on what?
Well, on what kind of seeds are planted.
I asked you a very simple question, and all I want is a simple answer.
Well, I'm the guy that can give it to you.
Yeah. Tell me, what are you going to grow?
Well, I think I'm going to grow some dog plants.
Dog plants?
Yeah, dog plants. Yeah, they're very nice, dog plants.
Dog plants?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
What do you mean?
Cauliflowers. Oh! I got you on that one.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Cauliflower, pretty good.
All right.
You know, Mr. Bergen, that apple tree you got?
Yes, I know the apple tree.
Well, I made some cider.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
You made cider?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Hard?
No, just squeeze the apples and there it is.
Yeah, I see. That's fine. You, Mortimer, you are undoubtedly as stupid a person as I've ever talked to.
Well, that's, you got,
Yeah. I say you're as stupid a person as I've ever talked to.
Oh, you're just saying that to make me feel good.
Down through the years, in such shows as Of Thee I Sing, Anything Goes, and Louisiana Purchase, Victor Moore and Billy Gaxton have been the brightest lights of the Broadway musical comedy stage. It's a strange Broadway season that doesn't include them, but it happens that both are in Hollywood for cinema purposes. Victor for Riding High at Paramount, and Billy for MGM's Best Foot Forward. But they're together again to show us their conception of what a draft board isn't, but might be. Victor Moore and Billy Gaxton.
Hello? Hello? Local draft board number 1804, swing and sway in class 1A. Chairman Gaxton speaking. What's that, madam? Oh, we're very sorry. It must be an error. No, we can't induct a woman when she's going to have a baby. No, it would be unthinkable. Take a 3-day furlough and report to Fort MacArthur on Monday. Come in.
How do you do?
Not in.
Is this the draft board?
Well, we like to refer to it as the GI Travel Bureau. Now, what do you want?
Well, you got to help me. One of my key men is going to be drafted right out of my defense plant.
Oh, you run a defense plant? What is it?
It's the Victor Moore Collapsible Girdle Corporation.
Since when are collapsible girdles an essential industry?
Well, right now we're working on a big government contract. We're making the Victory Girdle.
Ah, the Victory Girdle.
Yes, it takes the waves out of the wax. Ah. Now, this fellow who's going to be drafted, Homer Potts.
Yes?
We couldn't do without him. He's been in the girdle business for 25 years.
It's quite a stretch. I'm not interested in Homer Potts. I'm interested in you.
Me?
Yes. I knew you were a suspicious character the minute you walked in here. I'll bet you never even registered. I'm going to look up your record in our file.
But I just came here because
now,
I
you may be
keep
an Axis spy.
I only want to keep on making girdles.
Yes, there's probably something you wouldn't stoop to.
Yeah, I make the kind with the garters in them.
Yes, you'll probably blow up the whole city.
Oh, I'm a very tough customer, aren't I?
Wait a minute now. I'll find your draft specification card here. Let me see. Montrose, Moody, Moon.
No, that's not far enough.
All right. Mooney, Morse, Monkey.
That's going too far.
Ah, here it is. Moore, Victor Moore. 1A.
Oh, that can't be me.
Oh, yes, it is. Aren't you Victor?
Looks like I'm loser. There must be some mistake. Are you sure you didn't make a mistake?
Ah, now, this draft board never makes a mistake. And when we do, it's too late to complain.
But aren't grandchildren an exemption?
Children are an exemption. The law doesn't say anything about grandchildren.
Now, wait a minute. I thought you didn't want men over 38.
Well, how old are you?
Well...
Now, come on, I don't lie. Now, come on, now. Hurry up, now. Tell me the truth.
I'm over 38.
Over 38, huh? Where's your birth certificate?
Well, to tell the truth, I had it so long it just turned to dust.
Oh, turn to dust, destroying the evidence, huh? I can get you 20 years for that.
Well, it's all very confusing. I don't see how the Army can take me now. You know, I tried to enlist last year.
You did, huh? Well, what happened?
I guess I got in the wrong line. I was classified 99F in the campfire girls.
Yes. Well, when did you go down to take your physical?
I was too weak to go down and take it.
Hmm?
The physical came up and took me. At that, I was almost taken into the Army on account of bad eyes.
Oh, you had bad eyes and they almost took you?
No, the doctor had bad eyes and almost took me.
All right, Mr. Moore. Now I'm going to be fair and square about the whole thing. I'll give you another examination.
That's very nice of you.
And then we'll send you right down to the induction center. First, I'll give you a blood test.
Oh, I had one of those the last time. The doctor took some blood out of me.
Oh, he did, huh? And then what did he do with it?
How should I know? I didn't remember a thing until he put it back. Oh.
We'll just overlook your blood. Now, let me see. We'll test your eyesight. Now, here. You hold this piece of cardboard over your right eye.
All right.
And you hold this piece of cardboard over your left eye. Have you got that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, now you take the first piece of cardboard away from your eye.
There.
All right. Peek-a-boo.
Peek-a-boo. Wait a minute.
No, wait a minute. Now you turn right around. I want to see how you're going to look in a uniform. Say, you'll have to take off, you'll have to take off some of that weight. You're a little, corpulent.
Is that higher than a lieutenant?
Higher than a lieutenant. Oh, a wise guy, huh?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just not myself today. I'm very jumpy.
Oh, jumpy, huh? Fine, then we'll put you in the paratroops.
Well, I hope you realize what you're doing.
Why, what do you mean?
By taking me into the army, you're closing down my girdle business. And if you take away girdles, you'll shake the very foundation of American womanhood.
What a...
You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss, and a sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by.
Time goes by.
And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you. On that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by.
As time goes by.
Moonlight and love songs never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate. That no one can deny. It's just the same old story, a fight for love and glory, a case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes. That no one can deny.
The world
will welcome lovers as
whom did you say? You did say whom? Oh, so that's whom. How utterly humorous, huh?
Charlie, what are you doing?
Well, with Ronald Coleman here today, I have to watch my diction.
Oh, I see.
Yes, that's whom.
Yes. Well, that's very fine. I'm glad to hear you pattern your speech after Mr. Coleman's.
Well, now you just watch me. I'm going to out Coleman Coleman.
Oh, you are?
Yes. Pewter. Laughter. Ha, 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 ha.
Quite, Charlie. Here comes Mr. Coleman. Hello, Ronnie.
Hello, Edgar. It's good to see you boys having fun.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not intruding.
Oh, no, Mr. Coleman. No. You know, we've got secrets. Uh-huh. You know how it is.
Of course. Yeah. You know, Edgar, I admire the fine friendship that exists between you and Charlie. There's such deep loyalty and understanding.
Yes, I feel very fortunate in having Charlie as a friend.
Yes, it's something to be treasured, isn't it? Remember, friendships must be kept in constant repair. They're so fragile.
Fragile.
Yes, all right, all right.
How true. How gloriously true, Mr. Coleman. Ah. There's nothing more fragile than French yipes.
Yipes!
Ronnie, I think I should tell you that Charlie is a great admirer of yours.
Well, thank you, Charlie.
I've seen all your pictures, except that one about farming.
About farming?
Yes, the rundown harvest.
Random harvest.
Yes, that's still one.
You know, Ronnie, those scenes between you and Greer Garson were unforgettable.
Well, that's very nice of you, Edgar.
Is Greer Garson in it, too?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Wow. What I mean is she really?
Do you like Greer Garson, Charlie?
Oh, I'll say. I think she's a...
I see what you mean, yes.
Of course, you know Miss Garson better than I do. What do you think of her?
Well, confidentially, Charlie, I think she's...
You do? You know, Mr. Coleman, I would have seen that picture before now, but Bergen wants me to wait until it comes to our neighborhood.
Oh, and what neighborhood is that?
The neighborhood of 15 cents.
You know, that neighborhood is kind to a boy's allowance.
Yes, yes, and mine doesn't take much kicking around. Do you know what I get a week?
No,
what's that? It's a measly 70...
Charlie, please. We're not interested in what you get.
No, well, in case you do, it's 75 cents a week.
Well, Charlie, you know, I sympathize with your budget problem. And I've got an idea.
You have? What?
How would you like to have me tell you the story of Random Harvest?
Oh, boy, that would be super.
And I, for one, would enjoy hearing you tell it.
And it would save me 15 cents.
No. If you don't go to the theater, I don't give you the 15 cents.
Well, now, wait a minute. If he tells me the story, that's another thing, isn't it? But I'll let you listen to it, too,
now,
for
listen.
15 cents.
Now, wait a minute.
No,
I'll settle.
If you don't,
I don't
well,
care.
One moment, please. I'll settle the argument, fellow.
Yes, yes.
Now, listen. I tell the story.
That's right. Yes.
And you give me the 15 cents.
That's the... No, that isn't the argument. That didn't work out so good, did it? No, you're driving a hard bargain, Mr. No. How about 10 cents, huh?
Well, I could do it, but you wouldn't like it.
I wouldn't. All right, then. Make it 15 cents. All right. But give us the full treatment now.
I'll give it everything I've got. For 15 cents.
Shoot. Curtain.
Well, you see, this story opens.
It does, huh?
Well, naturally. It's a necessity.
Well, I can see your point, yes.
Will you let Mr. Coleman tell the story?
Oh, excuse me.
All right, now. As the picture opens, I'm suffering from amnesia.
Oh, am you? He means he doesn't remember anything.
That's right. I'm, shall we say, not quite normal.
Oh, I see. In other words, you are, shall we say, nuts.
Yes, that's right, Charlie. It's my mind is in escrow.
Yeah.
Well, now, there are three things I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember my name, and I can't remember my address.
What's the third?
I can't remember.
Well, where does Greer Garson come into
Well, Miss Garson befriends me. We fall in love and marry and go to live in a little cottage with a squeaky gate. Now, doesn't that sound romantic?
Well, I don't know. I never lived with a squeaky gate. Unless you count Bergen.
Now, wait.
I'll hear more about that later.
Yeah. Continue with your story, Ron.
Well. We're gloriously happy in that little vine-covered cottage. Hours go into days. Days go into weeks. Weeks go into months.
Yes.
Months go into years. Yes. Years of glorious happiness.
All right.
Ah, how well I remember that little vine-covered cottage.
Please, please.
Happy.
Mr. Coleman, just tell it. Don't ham it up.
Well, I'm sorry. I must have been giving my 35-cent performance.
Well, anyway, what happens?
Well, I go to Liverpool.
Oh.
Only to be hit by a taxi.
Hardly seems worth the trip, does it?
You're quite right. I didn't even get his license.
Oh.
Now, where was I?
Well, you were getting hit by a liver pill in the taxi.
Well, you see, it was, it's quite a serious shock.
Yes,
I come to think, when I regain consciousness, I'm a different man.
Anyone we know? No.
What Mr. Coleman means is that the accident restores his memory of the past, but he forgets he has a wife.
Well, what happens to Miss Garson? Did you just forget about her?
Oh, no. Miss Garson becomes my secretary.
Now, wait a minute now. Here's where I trip you up. First, you say you forget her, don't you?
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, she is your secretary. How does that happen?
Well, now, that's a very good question, Charlie. Right. I'm glad you brought it up. Now, to go on with the story.
Yeah, what? Well,
You see, Charlie, after Miss Garson becomes his secretary, he doesn't remember her, so they get married again.
Isn't that bigamy?
No. Or is it trigonometry? No.
No, you see, I merely marry the same girl twice.
Oh, I see. I guess you call that monotony.
Well, how do you like the story, Charlie?
Well, I think it has a very fine moral. I like that.
Well, and what moral is that?
Well, the moral is don't marry your secretary. She might turn out to be your wife.
The Charlie McCarthy Show on Tuned to Yesterday, starring Edgar Bergen, from April 18th, 1943 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of comedy from Radio's Past on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from Radio's Golden Era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. It's been a pleasure.